an example to follow. We want to look at that in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us, Lord. We thank you for your presence here with us, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you would just come in power right now, Lord. We thank you for your presence over this service, your hand that you have been upon us, that your Spirit is with us, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, that Holy Spirit, you are here and you've been guiding us into all truth and you will continue to do that. You are pointing us to Jesus, and we thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you would get me out of the way, Lord, and anyone else who speaks, Lord. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, that we would hear from you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's living. We thank you that you speak through it. And so we ask that you would do that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll notice in your worship bulletin, this area in the middle, if you're new here with us, this area called Scripture Surfing, it's also on the back to guide you throughout this week. But that's just for you as an individual. That's for you to just spend time alone with the Lord, just you and Him, to be worshiping Him in spirit and in truth on your own, being in His Word, saturating yourself in His Word. And it takes you, as you do it, it takes you through the whole of His Word so you don't miss anything. And just listen to what He's saying as you read as you get before Him, don't look at it as a task to check off your list, but look at it as time with the Lord, a date with the Lord, spending time with Him. Let Him speak to you through your word. And then we come together at three different times during the week, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and then you'll hear a message from something that you read that week, and we'll look at each of those chapters, and we'll have a reading from each of those chapters. And then sometimes we have time to share on Wednesday night or Sunday night. You can share what the Lord's speaking to you through these things. So let's do that. Let's turn to this past Thursday and Friday's readings. And as we turn there, this past Thursday, the reading was 2 Samuel chapter 13. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible near you there. And you want to turn it still toward the beginning. You'll see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Keep on going past Joshua, and you'll find 1 and 2 Samuel. You want 2 Samuel chapter 13. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, look at verse 1 and 2. In the course of time, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Amnon became frustrated to the point of illness on account of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Well, later on we read all these terrible things that happened and that Amnon did, leading to rape and all these things. And you know what? But it was all, his focus was totally on, he was consumed with this relationship. He was consumed with a person, with a human relationship. So much it says here in verse 2 that it brought him illness. We got to watch out. We got to watch out. Singles have to be careful. A lot of times singles are so tempted to just put all their time, energy, and effort in finding a spouse or something. And that's not God's plan. God's plan is put all your energy and total effort on Him. Giving your all to Him, loving Him. Letting there be no other idols or gods, just all your attention to Him. He'll bring what you need. If there's a spouse He wants for you, He'll do that in His time. Keep our focus on Him. In chapter 14, Absalom, this is David's son, he returns to Jerusalem. And in chapter 14, verse 14, it says this. This wise woman has been hired, and she's telling David these things. And she's trying to get him to realize something. Joab hired her to do this, David's military commander. But in verse 14 it says, like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be recovered, so we must die. But God does not take away life. Instead, He devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from Him. Well, isn't that true about the Lord? God tells us in other places in His Word, He says that it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So He's made a way for none of us to be banished from Him through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and His death and His burial and His resurrection and faith in Him. He's made a way for all of us who are estranged from Him to be back with Him, to be with Him forever. Chapter 15, verse 31, Absalom's conspiracy. Absalom, the son of King David, is conspiring. And in 15, chapter 31, it says that in 15, verse 31, it says this. Now David had been told, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So David prayed, O Lord, turn Ahithophel's, say that 10 times fast, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. Wow, I love how David prays so specifically. You know, this Ahithophel, he's supposed to be giving these bad guys the advice, and they're looking to him for advice, and David just prays specifically, Lord, confuse the advice of Ahithophel, and the Lord does it. You know, we need to pray specific about things, about issues. Watch out for those general prayers. Pray specific so you can see God's answer. And in chapter 16, verse 10, it says this. This man, Shimei, he curses David. He says some terrible things about David. And one of David's men says, let me just kill him. Yeah, but in 31, David, he takes it to heart. And I'm sorry, in verse 10, he takes it to heart. Look what David says. But the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zariah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? You know, we need to do that. Sometimes, you know, we get a painful cursing from somebody. Sometimes somebody really lays into us. But, you know, we need to do what David did here. We need to go before the Lord and say, God, is there any truth in that? It might have hurt. It wasn't done the right way. But Lord, is there a grain of truth in that? Let the Lord examine you. Is it from the Lord? Is that from you, Lord? It didn't feel too good, but was that from you? And then in our New Testament readings, we're in 1 Corinthians. So if you're new at this, the New Testament's that last third of the Bible. And in the last third of the Bible. Actually, you know what? We're going to dive down in both of those chapters. So let's go on over to Psalms. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 verse of 11. So let's turn over to Psalms chapter 142. You open your Bible to the middle, turn back a little bit, and then you'll be in the Psalms. And in Psalm 142, you can just listen if you're not there yet. These first two verses. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before Him. Before Him I tell my trouble. And then Psalm 143 says this. And you can pray this. You can pray this right now in your own heart. Focus on the Lord right now and pray this in your own heart. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. That was through verse 10. Well, now turn back to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verses 31 and then also through chapter 11, verse 1. And your New Testament's that last third of the Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Keep going. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 31 through chapter 11, verse 1. An example to follow. an example to follow. Well, we've got that this morning, an example to follow. We've got that this morning. Those that we remember today, we've already mentioned them a few times. And in the video, those that we remember today and tomorrow, in particular, Memorial Day, those that we remember have set an example for us. Think about what they did. They have set an example for you and for me. What example did they set? Well, they were focused on our good, all of us. They were focused on our good and not their own. Their own lives. They were focused on our good and not their own, so that we could be saved, so that we could be protected, so that we could live. What an example. What an example. Now, they have followed the example of Christ, the greatest example ever of this and of anything for that matter. Jesus Christ, the perfect example of a human being, fully God and fully man. Of course, He has set the ultimate example, and that is exactly what He did. He gave His life. He was focused on our good and not on His own, not on His life. Why? So that we may be saved. And so He gave His life on that cross at Calvary so that we could be saved. Those we remember today, in Memorial Day, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, they have set an example for us. And we're good at following examples, and we know many times that we need to be setting them. I was talking to a man earlier this week, and he was a young man, a young African-American man that lives kind of close by the church here, and we were talking, and we were talking about the Lord, and he said, you know, he said, I've got three boys. He said, I've got three boys that I'm trying to raise, and he said, you know, he said, I need to be an example to them. And I was like, yes. I was like, you're right, my brother. That is it. I do too. I've got three kids. We need to be examples. We need to be an example. Christ has set the ultimate example, and I need to follow Him, and you need to follow Him, and because we have examples to set. Yes, that man, and yes, myself, and any other man, yes, we need to be examples to our homes and to our families, and especially to our children. Dennis Rainey said this: every dad is the family role model, whether he wants the job or not. And there's truth to that. We need to follow the example of Christ and then set an example. How can we set good examples? Not only in fathering, but in everything we do as a believer. We're setting an example in everything that we do. How can we do that? How can we set a good example? Well, by following Christ, by following the example of Christ. If we follow Christ and we follow His example, then we'll be setting a good example. As we follow Him, others could be invited to follow us. So, how can I follow the example? How can you this morning, you and I, how can we follow the example of Christ and set an example? Well, we see it right here, 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 11:1. Listen to it. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. There it is right there. So how can I follow the example of Christ and set an example? Well, first of all, do everything for the glory of God. How can I follow the example of Christ and set a good example? Well, do everything for the glory of God. everything for the glory of God. That's what it says in verse 31. So, whether you eat or drink, he gives those two examples. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do. Those are key words, those three words. Whatever you do. So that's all inclusive, isn't it? There's nothing you do that you don't need to be doing in this manner. Whatever you do. So any action you take, anything you do, everything you do, whether it's eating or drinking or brushing your teeth or going to the mall to shop or going to work or whatever you do. In verse 31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's how we're to be doing it. Whatever we do, no matter what it is, do it all for the glory of God. Give it your best. Give it your all. He gave all for you. He gave His whole life. That was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. He gave everything for you. He gave His all for you. How can we give Him any less? Do everything for His glory. Do everything for Him. Give your best in everything. I got to hear a gentleman speak. You may have heard of him. Rourke Denver. I went to a LeaderCast conference put on by Chick-fil-A. And it was a simulcast. And it was live speakers, but they were all in Atlanta. And I was here in Montgomery. But I got to hear him speak, you know, live, all these speakers. And Rourke Denver was one of them. Rourke Denver has led every phase of training for our Navy SEALs here in our country. In the Middle East and in other areas, he led every aspect of the Navy SEAL training. So he's our main Navy SEALs trainer. And one thing he did that I want to share with you is do everything for the glory of God. One thing that Rourke Denver says that when he gets these Navy SEALs, these trainees, one thing he has them do is something to this effect. Okay, raise your hands as high as you can just for a second. Raise your hands as high as you can. Just for a second. High as you can. Everybody got it? High as you can. Okay, now give me one more inch. And that one more inch, that's what they try to focus on in the Navy SEALs. You see, we always hold back some little bit of reserve. Because I told you in the beginning, raise them as high as you can. And I said, give me one more inch, and you had it right there. That one inch, that's what they really try to focus on. That's that all. That's your best. That's how we need to be living for the Lord, isn't it? Do everything, whatever you do, for the glory of God. We need to be doing it that extra inch for Him, because He did everything for us. Do everything for the glory of God. What about the little things? What about the small things? Whatever you do, we need to do everything that way. Another speaker that I got to hear at that conference was Condoleezza Rice. And now she was our first female African-American Secretary of State with the Bush administration. When 9/11 happened and all that, she told some awesome stories about all that. But anyway, one thing that she said is she said that we need balance in life. And she talked about planning. She said she is really a planner, and she plans all these things out. And she said people get on to her and everything. You're like, Condoleezza, you know, why are you're even planning your relaxation? You know, you're supposed to be on vacation, not have some plan. But she was saying that, you know, she wants her relaxation to be the best it can possibly be. So she'll even plan that. You know, she'll have her relaxation. So it sounds like she's doing this. It sounds like she's trying to do everything for the glory of God. That extra half inch, even her relaxation. Well, that's what God is saying here. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever it is. Why? Because God compares being a believer as running a race. Because you're running a race. You're not on a playground. You're in a competition. You're running a race. He tells us, we looked at it, it was in our individual readings not too long. I think we read it Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. He says, God tells us, He tells you and He tells me, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, all believers, all over the planet, every believer, we're all running in this race. It's like a marathon, not a sprint, but it's like a marathon. We're all running in this race. And he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? We're all running this race, the Christian. Only one gets the prize in a race. Run in such a way as to get the prize, God tells us. My kids were in a triathlon. It was on a kid's level. But they were in a triathlon this past year. And I remember just seeing all those kids, everybody. I think my kids' numbers were like 300 and something. So there was tons of kids running this triathlon. But only one was the first place. Only one. God says the Christian life is a race. Run in such a way as to win the prize. You need to outdo me as a believer. I need to outdo you. As a believer, run to win the race. And then he gets more human with us, and he compares it to a human race, and he says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. We know that with the Olympics. Everybody who competes in the games goes into strict training. Why? Because they want to win. Yeah, if you want to win the Olympics, there's some strict training involved. If you're running to win, there's some strict training. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, they do it to get a prize that will not last. They get a gold medal, and one day they'll be gone from the earth. It'll still be here. And one day, everything will be burnt up with fire one day at the end of all time. But they do it to get a prize that won't last. We do it, God tells us. We do it. Do what? Enter into strict training so we can win this race. We do it to get a prize that will last forever. And anything you do in the name of Christ, anything, any moment that you're faithful to Christ, in other words, you know what He wants you to do, you've sought His wisdom, and you know the next step, you know what He wants you to do, and then you obey Him, you're faithful to Him. Anytime you're faithful, you're storing up those treasures, and you're getting that crown that will not fade away. And so we need to enter strict training as a believer. Therefore, that's what we're talking about. Do everything for the glory of God. Look for that extra half inch. You're running to win the race. Do everything for the glory of God. So, how can I follow the example of Christ and set an example? First of all, do everything for the glory of God. Next, don't cause anyone to stumble. Don't cause anyone to stumble. Look at verse 32. So do everything for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Don't cause anyone to stumble. You know, I was too late getting here this morning. I teach a Bible study group. I'll go ahead and admit, if you'll just keep it between us. But I was too late getting here this morning. And I was embarrassed because I got here and somebody saw me get out of the car that late. And I thought, man, I'm too late. I'm usually earlier than that. But I was running way too late today. That's not a good example. That's not a good example. I'm setting somebody up to stumble. What if some other people in the church saw that? And what if they thought, you know what, the pastor just got here. This I could get here later. What am I doing? Breaking my back. You know, don't cause anyone to stumble. We've got to watch out. We've got to watch out for our example. Do not cause anyone to stumble. You know, sometimes I feel like I have to be careful with anything outdoors, like on Sunday, like if there was, some kind of hard labor or something outdoors on Sunday, I feel like I better be careful. Now, Sunday's not my day of rest. That's my biggest work day, pretty much. So I try to rest on Saturday as a minister. God wants us all to work 6 days and rest the seventh. Okay, that's His plan. And so I try to rest on Saturday. So anyway, for me, I have no problem. You know, I could work hard on Sunday, you know, be outside, whatever. But don't cause anyone to stumble. I feel like I've got to kind of be careful because some people may feel like, you know, well, their Sabbath day, their rest is on Sunday. And so if they see me, this pastor out there working real hard, you know, doing something, then they may violate their own conscience and say, well, you know, I saw that pastor doing, I'm going to get out here, even though I feel like, you know, I'm not supposed to be. And you know, we've got to be careful not to let anybody stumble. The Bible talks about everything is permissible, God says, for us as believers. But we got to be careful for those. God mentions 1 Corinthians 14 and in other places, those who are weaker in their faith, we've got to be careful. Because if they violate their conscience, if anybody violates their conscience, then they've sinned against God. So we got to watch out. Don't cause anybody to stumble. So watch your example. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, God says, therefore, here's another race again, therefore, what? Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and yes, many theologians say it's all the witnesses that are in heaven right now, yes, yeah, I believe that, you know, it's Jesus and it's all them, but there's a whole lot of witnesses right here too. I believe God is saying, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, yes, all those that have passed on, but yes, all those right here. My wife, my children, the church, everybody who's watching you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So, we're running this race with all these witnesses. Everybody's watching you. Everybody's watching me. So, how can I follow the example of Christ and set an example for everybody watching? How can you set an example for everybody watching? Well, do everything for the glory of God. Don't cause anybody to stumble. And next, try to please everybody, seeking their good and not yours, that they may be saved. That's what God tells us in verse 33. The Apostle Paul writes, God's word, but he's saying right here, verse 33, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Right there, try to please everybody, seeking their good and not yours, so that they may be saved. Now, always keep your eyes on Jesus and what He wants. Never be a people pleaser. I'm not saying focus on people and their needs. And that's how you live, and just whatever need you see, and all the people that come to you and say, could you do this? Would you do this? And just meeting every need you can, focused on the people. No, I'm not saying that. That's not biblical. God says, focus on me. He'll guide you. And then as He says it, He'll tell you all the needs that need to be met. Because you can't meet them all. He'll tell you, meet this one, do this one, go there, minister to her. Don't go there. Go here. So we focus on Him. He is the foremost. But what I'm saying is, as you focus on Him, then you're focused on Him first, but then we try to please everybody for their good as much as we can, and not for our own good. So that, why? Ultimately, so that they may be saved, so that they may be a disciple, so that they may grow in the Lord. Well, who did that? Well, all of these people in our military that we remember, they did this. As Memorial Day, what we remember, these men and women, they sought our good and not their own, that we could be saved, that we could be protected. Of course, Jesus, the ultimate example, that's what He did. He sought your good and my good so that we could be saved. And I like the acrostic WIN, W-I-N, whatever is necessary. Whatever is necessary. God tells us through His Word to be all things to all people so that you can save some. Whatever we need to do, whatever is necessary, you and I need to do all we can to please those around us for their good and not for our own good, not focused on ourselves, so that they may be saved, so that they may know the Lord and grow in the Lord. And finally, have others follow your example as you follow His. have others follow your example as you follow His. So, how can I follow the example of Christ and set an example? How can you follow the example of Christ and set an example? Do everything for the glory of God. Don't cause anyone to stumble. Try to please everybody, seeking their good and not yours, that they may be saved. And finally, have others follow your example as you follow His. We see that in verse 1 of chapter 11. Follow my example. The Apostle Paul is saying, he's telling the people, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's what it needs to be for you. That's what it needs to be for me. All right, let me ask you this. Are you, and I ask myself, are you following Christ well enough to say this? Do you feel confident enough in your relationship with Jesus and in your following Christ and being His disciple? Do you feel confident enough in it to say this, to tell others around you, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm following Him the best I can. Hey, follow me as I follow Him. Here's another question to consider. Would people be in good shape if they followed you right now? If people just looked at your life and observed your example of being a Christian, following, being a follower of Jesus, a Christ follower, and if they just watched you and just observed for a while so that they could learn and they could just emulate you, follow your example, would they be in good shape? Would that be good? Would that be a good thing? Would that be a bad thing? I'm sure we all have areas where it would be a bad thing. But think about that. That's what he's saying here. Follow me as I follow the example of Christ. So, how do I fix it? How do I do better? How do you do better? How do you fix it? Well, follow Him. It's all about following Him. That's our focus. Our focus is not on being an example. I'll set myself up for failure and cursing. If I'm totally focused on being an example, and that's my goal in the Christian life, I just want to be an example. Where's that focus? That focus is all on me trying and struggling and striving to do as good as I can to be a good example. And it'll never work. The more and more you focus on the law, the more you realize you need to obey the whole law, and you're actually cursed, and you have sorrow and pain and suffering. What it does when you look at yourself and you look at how bad you fail and how much you mess up, what it does is when you look at the law and what God expects and His standards, what it does is it's not a way to fix you. It's a way, it drives you to Christ. Makes you realize your need. Makes you realize, Lord, have mercy on me. I am just messed up. And it turns you to Jesus. And you say, Lord, I need some help. Would you help me? Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you live in me and through me? Lord, because I can't do it. I just mess up in this life. Would you live through me, Jesus? And put your faith in Him and you start living by faith. And not by sight and human effort and trying and struggling. When I try, I fail. When I trust, He prevails. So follow Him. How do you become a good example? Not focus on being a good example. Focus on following Him. Follow Him. Let Him fill you. Let Him control you. Seek to be filled with His Spirit. Then you'll be an example. Others will see Him in you. And they'll be following. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your example, Jesus. And thank You for, Lord, Your instructions. Lord, I know that, Lord, a lot of senior adults right now, Lord, are about to go and enjoy a meal together. And Lord, we're so thankful for them, our senior saints, Lord. We thank You for them. And Lord, it was a little heartbreaking yesterday to hear, Lord, as I was praying and walking through the neighborhood and heard an old man, when I said, how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm hanging in there. That's about the best an old man can do. And Lord, I realized that, Lord, that's not true. That's not true, Lord. Whether we're 80 years old like Moses when he began that great ministry, Lord, when we're 80 or whatever age we are, we thank You, Lord, that the truth is that You want us to follow You and your example. Lord, so that we can be an example no matter what age we are. And Lord, we thank you for your instructions on how to do that. So help us to do everything for your glory and not to make anyone stumble. Help us to try to please everybody seeking their good and not ours, so that they may be saved. And Lord, help us to have others follow our example. Call others to follow our example as we follow yours, Lord. Help us in these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.